spanning the Valley of the Sun and all across the 48th state. This is the Gatos and Chad Show.
Happy Wednesday. It's wet outside, baby.
It is. Is my money safe in the bank right now?
Safe as the Bank of England. It's been bankrupt.
Well, we had two banks go under. And people were saying, I didn't like that movie in 2008. It didn't do me very well. I lost my job, my house. I had one of those crazy subprime loans, and it wasn't a good year. So people were wondering, is my money safe? All right, you had a couple banks go under. All right. Does that mean all the banks are unhealthy? No. Does that mean that we're going to have a repeat of 2008? No. And I just wonder, for those who say, I'm going to take my money out of the bank. Okay, where are you going to put it? Honestly, what are you going to do with it?
I got a mattress, several of them.
Yeah.
Bury them in the backyard.
Yeah.
Invest.
Well, there you go. You can invest it. Sure.
Here's the thing. The bank meltdown in 2008 affected all of us in a way because of the subprime mortgages that were out there. And all that's where...
You could have lost your house.
Yeah,
that was bad.
It was affecting everybody.
Or you lived next to a home...
Or several homes.
Or your whole neighborhood, yeah, was empty. And then you had squatters. Remember the squatters?
Oh, yeah.
There were people that would go and party in that house because they knew that there was nobody there. Yeah, it affected people's jobs. People got fired. A ton of people got fired.
And so this is one of those things where it is, in many ways, while it's embarrassing and they played around with in some areas, and I think the government was not watching the way they told everybody they were watching. There's a lot of things that go in. Nothing was ever as simple as it. Everybody wants black and white. It's not. But it's kind of isolated in some ways because it is banks, not the people on the other end. It's not, you're not losing your house today because the bank is in serious trouble,
right?
and the economy's not going to, economy may struggle with this.
Mm-hmm.
There could be some serious issues. This could be a domino effect, but it's not the same as 2008 where I moved to Sacramento. We lived on a house, we lived in an area where there was probably, it was a nice neighborhood, probably 20 homes on our street up and down. There was only two of us on the street. Everything else was foreclosed.
Yeah.
It was insane.
Yeah. We're not going down that road again.
No.
The banks are much healthier than they were in 08. And so, yes, is it a bit scary? Yeah. Does it give you a little bit of a flashback to 2008? Yeah.
Like your butt pucker, if you will.
You got to go, your butt puckers a little bit. Speaking of my butt puckering a little bit, Mark Brnovich. Remember that guy? He was the attorney general. Remember how he had that big investigation and he withheld it from everybody because he's a fraud? The current attorney general in Arizona, Chris Mays, says she will not take legal action against her predecessor, Mark Brnovich, for withholding his findings that absolutely no fraud occurred in the 2020 election. So I'm just wondering.
It wasn't a crime, because when you release the report, is it probably a crime whether you release it today or you can release it in 5 months? I mean, the government does that all the time.
Yeah.
I think it was more of a, she probably looked and thought two things. I don't want to drag this thing on forever. Predecessor probably at some point in time was friendly with him, may know him, you know, and
may so. May know and not like him. Who knows?
May not. But, you know, here's the thing with the politics is when you start bringing stuff into, are we going to prosecute? Is it based solely on politics? Because a good, you know, a good individual who is going to prosecute somebody, can I? It's not what I think and what I want. Can I prove it?
Mm-hmm. Well, what does he have? 18 complaints with the state bar of Arizona. Maybe Mays is saying, you know what? He's in enough trouble without me.
But
I've got a ton of work to do here, and I don't need to go after Brnovich. Let everybody else go after him.
Is that a lot of complaints? I mean, do
18.
It's like if you go down to the floor of the exchanges in New York and Chicago, like commodities and all that stuff, every one of those guys on the floor has probably 100 complaints, and it's just everybody complains and files a suit or says something.
Yeah.
It's kind of part and parcel of the business.
I do want him punished.
Wow.
I don't know. I almost, you know, part of me says he's already a disgrace.
Yeah, he's punished himself.
I mean, you've got both parties that are looking and saying, oh my gosh, just release the stupid thing. When you should have released the stupid thing when you could have. And you could have saved us a lot of aggravation. You could have made Arizona look good. You could have put us in a good light that, guess what? We actually know what we're doing when it comes to these elections. He didn't do that. That's why I'm like, I told you this a while. I take it personally. I think he kept Arizona in the news, and we kept looking stupid that we didn't know what we were doing in these elections, and obviously we do.
But us looking stupid isn't a crime.
I know, but I still want him. I still
but he did it to himself.
I want to slap on the
That's
hand.
That's the thing. At the end of all of this, the reports, and at the end of all this talking of the politics, he punished himself probably worse than other people would have.
Maybe
punished
the biggest
him.
Punishment for Mark Brnovich is that most people wouldn't vote for him for anything again.
And if you overreach trying to do something to him, you run the risk of not only raising his profile, but if he beats it, then you've made him a martyr.
And maybe that's what Mays is thinking.
Yeah.
College basketball brackets. Let's see. The tournament starts
Thursday. Is mine busted
Thursday.
Yet?
Oh, it's no. not busted. They're playing games. Are they playing games tonight?
Yeah, there's one going on right now.
Okay, they're playing games tonight. So, you know, if... you know, a lot of us like to gamble on this in the workplace, and you put $5 or $10 in, and you got a chance to maybe win a couple $100. So I think tonight everybody's going to be doing their brass brackets. Question, has there ever been a perfect bracket? Out of the thousands and thousands of brackets.
Millions.
Well, that's, of course, duh. Millions and millions of brackets. Has there ever been a perfect bracket? Has anyone ever picked every single game? And the answer is no.
No.
The answer is no. How do you, like, the first round is, there's like 32 games.
Yes.
You know, if you get half of those, you're probably doing okay, as long as your champion doesn't get booted. What's the second? Okay, second day is, oh, so, like, the first round alone is 32 games. Who's going to ever get that right? It's impossible.
Here is this. So, the chances of being a perfect, you know, bracket. 1 in 9.2 quadrillion. That's 9.2 followed by 18 zeros.
Oh, man.
The closest person that ever got close to a perfect bracket was in 2019 when a fan correctly predicted the first 48 games before his bracket was finally busted. Probably didn't even win the pool.
First, he may not have. So he got the first 48 right. That's incredible.
Yeah, that is incredible.
Oh, my gosh. I love this time of year because you get to watch, you know, people you don't know any of the, you don't know any of the players, but the $5 you put on it, your bracket is now the most important thing in your life.
Plus, for 2 weeks, there's going to be a guy who is going to capture the heart of America. That's usually some scrappy little white guy, right? You
know,
right? Who's going to be an accountant or working at, you know,
soon.
Yeah, working at Ernst & Young or something like that. And he's going to come out and he's going to light it up, and he's going to get his whatever team that's, you know, St. Mary's of Helena, Troy, University, you know, Barbizon into the Sweet 16, and he's going to have a game where he throws up 38 points, and he's going to be called Scrappy, right? Because that's it. It's Scrappy.
Yeah. And I love the opening day. Thursday and Friday are so much fun. There's so many games to go through. You see how many you could win.
The 5-12 upsets. Which ones are going to be the 5-12?
Amazing.
Who's the lowest seed? Is there going to be a 2 seed that gets knocked out?
GCU is in it. They forgot the person that was putting all their equipment on the plane forgot to put all their equipment on the plane.
Yeah. You had one job. You had one job.
The basketball players have no shoes. They've got nothing.
Shirts versus skins?
They've got, I don't know. They got no shorts. They got no jerseys. They got nothing.
I smell an upset, and they're playing what? The Zags?
Gonzaga? They're not beating Gonzaga.
They're not beating Gonzaga.
No, I think it's a 3 versus a 14.
They don't even have uniforms.
They
end up beating
They don't
Gonzaga.
Even have uniforms.
Oh, my Lord.
All right. Stick around. Coming up, we've got Siri and Alexa. We love Siri and Alexa. Yeah. No, we don't. Say goodbye to them. We've got something way cooler and something that's going to replace both of them next.
ChatGPT debuted, the AI super mabobber machiny thingy. debuted in November. It's now at GPT-4, which is the newest version that they've rolled out. It is freakish. It is amazing. It is terrifying. It's all of the things, Gatos. Bye-bye, Alexa. Bye-bye, Siri. This thing is so blanking incredible.
So from what I understand, if you want, if you have like a business proposal that you want to write up, you can use this technology and it'll actually do it for you. If you want to write a book, it might write the whole stinking book for you. So that's, and we've talked about it in colleges. Some kids are using it and they're, you know, they're like, hey, listen, I need a B in this class. Write me a paper that's going to get me a B.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of what we're talking about with this technology.
And now that's a joke. Like that was
3 months ago.
That was 3 months ago.
Okay,
now 25,000 words it'll write you, whatever you need. A guy took a picture of a website he drew that he wanted his website to look for on a napkin, and it programmed it for him.
So
JavaScript, CSS, programmed it for him, ready to publish.
So something that a guy put on a doodled up on a napkin could be a $1 million idea.
Could be. And that's what this thing's going to be. And everybody's trying to, they're all racing because first mover advantage is important.
Right.
But they're all racing to get there. Snapchat got theirs out. It hasn't gone very well. Part of that is because of, it's for kids and they have played around with it and asked it certain things. And it is, let's just say it talked to what it thought was a 13-year-old girl and told her how to have sex with a 31-year-old man.
Ooh. Well, then the technology isn't as good as we thought it was.
Well, the technology
is.
Now, granted, now, are you baiting these things to ask you stuff? The guardrails, remember, it doesn't have any feelings.
Okay.
So, but, and that could be part of it.
Not yet.
I mean, that's the whole point. But it is, teachers are absolutely loving this because it is lesson planning for them and allowing them to do things. I'm reading teacher after teacher saying it's freeing up stuff. It's helping teach the kids in certain situations. It has been a godsend and it is going to be incredible. But
is it free?
Yeah, you can go to ChatGPT or chat.openai.com and you go there, check it out. There is a paid version, and that one is you can always get on it because when you're at the ChatGPT one, it's not paid. There might be 50 million people using it, and you might not get on it, but it's incredible, and it's going to revolutionize things. But it is as incredible as it's scary too. It is scary. All right, kids. Speaking of scary, you're from what state?
The New York, New Jersey area.
All right. So Newark, a place that you despise, from what I hear.
Well, it's just not a nice place. You fly into Newark, it's a hole.
Newark, New Jersey, just partnered with the Hindu nation of Kalisa. Fantastic. Congratulations to them.
The only problem is
Kalisa doesn't exist. They hosted the delegates at the made-up country at a formal big giant presentation in January. They signed all of these things. By the way, it was hilarious. They got fooled by a guy named Swami Nithyanandan, who apparently, by the sounds of it, is a fugitive.
What was Newark getting out of this deal?
They were supposed to be like trade partners or something.
Okay.
And this guy is spectacular. It was spectacular what he did, and everybody asked the same question. Nobody thought to Google, find out this is a real place? Not one of you thought, hey, we should see if this place is real.
It's like Sacha Baron Cohen.
Yeah. Yeah. Kalisa only reveals a slew of temples in southern half of India, even a meditation center in Connecticut. But it's not a city or a nation or anything.
Oh, jeez.
And it wasn't the only one. By the way, you can get e-citizenship through a QR code if you're hoping to become Kalisa. This is just, it's the best.
Roll out the red carpet for a place
they did,
that doesn't
they
exist.
They rolled it out. And you know what's amazing? The LARPers that did this, they went full on. They were there, and never once did it look like they were backing down. They were really playing it up. Yes, sir, wise men.
Did they host them at the Four Seasons Total Landscaping?
They did not. They did not. It would have been awesome.
That's pretty good.
But they did a big signing, you know, with the big leather binders. They had a bunch of it was everything you dreamed of, and you got LARPed. It was spectacular.
Imagine, like, the city of Phoenix brings out this, you know, roll out the red carpet, and they're like, listen, this is going to be the best partnership ever. And the mayor goes up there, they're at the podium, and then all of a sudden, whoever they're dealing with, it's a fake company or a fake place or what have you, and they just look like they got egg on their face.
Yeah. Mayor Ras Baraka. He said, I pray our relationships help us to understand cultural, social, and political development and improves the lives of everybody in both places.
When did they find out it was a ruse?
6 days later.
Oh, gosh.
Spectacular. Coming up, a lot of stuff to try to squeeze into. One of the things I want to talk about, there's a crazy restaurant job opening, and it is funny, Gatos, what you can and cannot do at said job.
Plus, is your kid doing hippie crack? Have you heard about this? Next.
Drive home with the Gatos and Chad Show.
That's us. You want a gig? This is great.
So I thought I had one.
Well, you know.
Why are you trying to get rid of me?
We're all
expendable, is that what you're saying?
Absolutely, we are. So there's a restaurant out in the desert area of Southern California hiring. And here's the job ad for it.
Okay.
Please do not apply if you have no sense of humor, can't handle skillful sarcasm, have no alarm clock, oversleep, have a cell phone battery that constantly dies, preventing you from contacting us, have to give friends rides to work later than we start work, call in sick with an excuse because you partied too hard the night before your shift, experience flat tires every other week, suddenly become deathly ill on Coachella and SPAC house weekends, and it goes on from there. And it is hilarious. Oh, you lock yourself in the house and you can't get out because there are no doors and windows outside of that.
Oh, my gosh. They must have had the worst employees so
far.
You
woke up in a good mood and didn't want to ruin it, reads the ad. Oh. So, and it's funny because it says you get paid to work.
Yeah. Not complain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No grumpy people, no big egos, no introverts, bad attitudes. And you know what's funny is a lot of people flipped out on this on the TikTok and everywhere else. And it made me laugh because I'm like, first of all, you missed the first part of it where it says, if you don't get sarcasm, this is obviously it's frustration, sarcasm through frustration. Mm-hmm. But obviously because he's had so many great employees.
Over the weekend, I went, I was just driving around. I was hungry. So I stopped at a fast food place. But the line was long, you know, for the drive-thru, so I decided I'm just going to roll in. So there's really nobody in there. There's just the drive-thru. I roll in, and this person, it's very, you know, young, I would say high school or college. Not friendly at all. No smile, no nothing. Yeah, what do you want? You know, something like that. Like, okay. And I'm like, okay, you know, so I made the order. Very quiet. No thank you. Enjoy your meal. Nothing like that. All right. So I paid for it. It was, you know, okay. So I stand there and I'm watching as I'm waiting for my food, and one of the guys, and they're all, you know, pretty young back there. One of the guys, there's like a garbage can there, and he hocked a loogie and spit in it, spit in the garbage can.
That's solid.
Now, so I have to make the decision, you know, do I jump over the counter and whoop his butt? Of course, I'm not going to do that. Or do I just turn around and leave? Because I'm like, all right, I'm just going to watch. Because if that guy's making my food, I'm not going to eat it.
No.
So he apparently wasn't the guy who was making my food.
He was the designated spit in the trash can guy?
Yeah, and it was just... Was that
the manager?
You know, it wasn't the manager. But, you know, it's a little unsettling when you see a large loogie, you know, shot out of a man's mouth into the garbage can, right around where the food is being made.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, that's kind of, that's not very appetizing, and I don't want to make a big deal of it. And so I just walked out.
Yeah. Keep my money. Like, I'm going to be fine.
$6.
Well,
I just threw $6 down the tube. And so
that person, though, you know what that person has an advantage of? They showed up.
Well, yeah.
As horrible as it is,
that's bad.
They showed
up. Becky Lynn, do you leave? Because I did leave.
You know what? I think I might have.
Yeah.
I got to tell you real quick. There was a thing on Facebook or something, you know, one of those anonymous things where somebody goes, should you say thank you? You know, if the person's working, do they say thank you to the people? Or is it okay if they just say no problem or something like that? And there were all these people commenting. And this big argument ensued. The people who were working in these restaurants was like, well, I like you to say thank you. I say thank you because you hand me out my whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm handing you some money, so you say thank you.
Yeah.
And this argument broke out from people saying, they don't pay me enough to say thank you. I'm not going to grovel. I don't have to. And I'm thinking,
wow,
what do you mean grovel? You're the representative there at the window.
I'm going to start giving people a tip who are friendly.
Yeah.
Like, I left that restaurant, right? And I totally hear what you're saying. Later in the weekend, we went to Harkins. And my wife went to get a Diet Coke. And again, you got a very young person behind the counter. Lovely. Enjoy your movie. I'm glad I can help you. You know, here's your Diet Coke. Can I get you anything else? Enjoy the movie. And I'm thinking, like, you know what? I think I'm going to start tipping people like
that.
Absolutely.
Here's a tip for the guy that's spit in the garbage.
Ugh.
Don't spit in the garbage when you're making food. How about that?
Get a new job, loser.
It's amazing.
Man, right before dinner, you had to tell that story.
Oh, the world we live in. Becky Lynn is Arizona's evening news. We're back at 2. We're fun.
Deal with it.